We're done. All right.
All right.
Awesome.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time for Podcast Without Pretense, the show that doesn't have an intro like this. So I don't know why I'm doing it now.
You're good at it,
Today's
though.
Today's sponsor, absolutely no one.
Today's sponsor is the internet. Without the internet, this show would not be here. True. So how's it going, guys?
Pretty good. I heard you got an award, Ayaz.
Yeah, we got an award over at the Twit place for a thing I do.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
It's only because Jonathan
Strickland...
So they
just give those things away now, right?
Well, they give it to anybody. That's the real problem with that. But it was Jonathan's campaigning for TNT and his appearance on TNT that was most highlighted in the voters by the voters.
Yeah. In retrospect, I should have promoted my own show.
Yeah, you and your gracefulness, because we did not bother. So that's neat.
That is neat. Congratulations.
Yeah, first time I'm doing this for a living, and they gave me an award. And
I've been doing it for 3 years, and I don't have a reward.
Well, aren't you? You have like a fancy title. I don't have a fancy title.
Uh-huh.
You're like senior executive man about town at large.
It's actually Gad about town.
Oh, is it?
Mm. Yeah.
But you're on the TV sometimes. That's an award.
Yep.
It's better than an award.
That's where I'm kind of I'm a little down right now because my big TV appearance has been rescheduled and I don't know when it will actually air now. It's kind of a bummer.
Did the DragonCon documentary come out like in length where I can watch it online?
There's a site. Gosh, I'll have to see if I can find it. It's called 4 Days at DragonCon.
Right. Yeah.
4 is in the number 4. I know it was up online in its entirety on one of the public television station sites.
It's on the PBS site. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So that one's up. The Curiosity Project episode I shot back earlier last week. I saw that it was supposed to air this coming Sunday, but now it is no longer on that listed as scheduled for that day. And it's not scheduled for the following Sunday either. So it's been put on hold for something reason. I don't know what the deal is.
Now, normally when we do the show, Eric usually gets an email from Icebreaker.
I didn't get one. I was actually looking it up before before we started.
Now I have to look up my last Icebreaker. Let's see.
They batched them out early today. I got it at like 8 a.m.
Okay.
Which, first of all, is no time to be answering questions like that.
Actually, this would be appropriate. What makes the best present something useful or a big surprise? And by the way, I think that's a really poorly phrased question because you could have a useful big surprise.
Yes.
So what do you say? Useful or big surprise? Thanks to Icebreaker or the icebreak.com, which does not sponsor the show.
A useful big surprise? Well, I hear you get into trouble for buying vacuums.
Yeah, they suck.
Oh.
Okay, that's not good. We're off. We're off. We're so far off. The goal of the show.
Wait, so what is this? A useful big surprise?
No, it says where's the tab? It says what makes the best present something useful or a big surprise?
Oh, I see.
So in other words, what would you say, Eric?
I'm a very useful person. Like whatever.
No, you're not.
My parents, no, but like my parents would always get mad at me because when they would ask me what I wanted for Christmas and girlfriends, etc. Like, I always requested something that I needed, like, to use. And they're like, but that's something you need, not something you want. And I'm like, but the things I want are things that I need. But, this year there's a expensive scale that I want, which, you know, nobody really wants.
The tweeting scale?
Yeah.
Why would you want the tweeting scale?
I want to do a, like, complete life tracking like blog or just to have fun with myself, but like so there's the Fitbit, now there's the Jawbone Up.
I'm fascinated by that thing.
Yeah, so am I. I'm actually ordering one, and then there's also the tweeting scale. So what I want to see is if there's a way for me to kind of get all of these things so that I can combine all of that data and do, like, complete life tracking with absolutely no work. Other than kind of hacking it together so it appears on a blog.
So, Jonathan, would you want something useful or a big surprise?
I'm a useful kind of guy. I mean, it's
as a present. Surprise,
yeah. Yeah, even as a present. I prefer something that's useful than... I mean, I've been telling my parents this for a few years that, that you know, they still get me gifts for even minor holidays, you know? Like, I got a Halloween basket from them because my parents are awesome and apparently I'm 12. But, yeah, I tell them, I'm like, I don't need any more cool little geeky toys. I mean, I love them, but I have no place to put them. And while they're awesome and I enjoy the experience of receiving it, ultimately, by the next day, it's more of an irritation than a gift. I would prefer to get something that is actually useful so that I continue to use it and appreciate it over the duration of however long that thing lasts.
Yeah, but can it be both? Can it be useful and like something you want, like...
Sure,
Ultrabook
can be,
or
but
a
that
tablet.
Wasn't the question. The question gave you a true delineation. If it had to be either a big surprise or useful, what would you prefer? I prefer something useful.
I like now, big surprises.
If given the option, I'll take both.
I would take a big surprise. Here, a giant surprise to give me like a cactus, I guess. Because I guess big surprise means not useful.
I guess.
Oh, I see.
Next time I see you is going to be at CES, and that's in Vegas, which is in the desert. So, hey, you might just get your wish, big guy.
I'm excited. And now you're ruining the surprise, so then I don't get what I want. It was a big surprise.
I'll give you, like, a Jell-O in the mold of a cactus.
But now, you're ruining the surprise.
Dang it!
You keep doing it!
You need to eject off the podcast for the next time. Speaking of gifts... have you guys already started seeing the commercials with the Christmas music?
No.
I haven't seen one yet.
I watch a lot of television.
I've seen a couple today. Well, I had on a local TV station, and they had an ad for some website for online shopping, and it was set to the tune of the most wonderful time of the year. And I just think that's wrong. I know that's cliche. To say, hey, every year it seems like the Christmas stuff creeps in earlier and earlier, and that, but it is really getting irritating at this point.
But I don't think it's been getting that much earlier as of late. I don't know. Although I did see, so we had a Halloween party the weekend after Halloween, and so we decided, you know, like 2 days after Halloween that we'd go to the store to see if there were, you know, super cheap Halloween decorations. Nope, all replaced with Christmas. Like, immediately, the day after Halloween.
Now, should there be a grace period for celebrating Thanksgiving? Should there be turkey-themed stuff around? Because I think Nordstrom actually has a policy that they don't put out anything unless... I mean, they don't put anything out for Christmas until after Thanksgiving.
Is turkey really... or Thanksgiving, like, a driving sales holiday other than, like, Black Friday, though? I mean,
you got to buy stupid things like a gravy boat and a serving plate or knives and extra chairs and
set of pilgrim salt and pepper shakers.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure there's a way to commercialize it. I mean, I guess maybe it's at the supermarket, really, though, right? They're like, eat all this food.
Well, you mean you guys don't have the maybe it's regional, but you know, in the Southeast, every Thanksgiving, just the week before Thanksgiving, you go out and you pick out your Thanksgiving bush and you cut that down and you bring it back and then you decorate that the day before Thanksgiving, and then the day after Thanksgiving, you burn it.
Wait, is this a real thing?
No, it's not at all. I'm totally making it up. It doesn't exist.
Wait, no, wouldn't that be like an Old Testament holiday?
Because I am not from the South. I have no idea.
I should have just kept going with that. Shoot. And then comes the gravy fight.
But how would you know when somebody's being lazy if they have to burn the bush? I mean, I guess is it always up, or is it the eternal?
When you've got a half dead Thanksgiving bush there in the middle of December, and it's taking up the space where the Christmas tree should go, that's when you really know you found someone who just doesn't care anymore about tradition.
Tradition. I don't like tradition.
No, you like big surprises. Tradition is the opposite of big surprises.
Yeah, I guess
tradition, so. Tradition is the ritualization of particular
non-surprises.
Actions.
This is I'm not a tradition. I don't like tradition much. I hear people like it because it gives them a sense of normalcy. Do you cling to holiday traditions or some kind of like I have to do something in a certain pattern?
Not for me. I don't really have any traditions that I've really followed. My family didn't have that many traditions. Like, my mom was always really into Christmas and things like that, so there was always decorating the tree, but it's never a big deal to me. I don't know.
Same here. My wife really likes Halloween. She really likes to decorate the place for Halloween and stuff like that. And she likes Christmas, too. She likes to do the decorations for that as well. And for me, it's and my parents still do. But yeah, for me, it just wasn't as big a deal. There are very few things that that I will indulge in as far as traditions or rituals go. I mean, I understand the comforting aspect of rituals. It's something that's familiar. It's safe. You know, you've got...
I don't know, Jonathan. You go to Comic-Con every year.
I have never been to Comic-Con.
Or Dragon-Con.
Dragon-Con. Right.
We'll throw that
one
out
really, there. That's not even so much tradition, because I don't do necessarily
Wait,
the same
you,
thing.
You go to Renaissance fairs. There is so much tradition baked into that.
I perform at the fair. That's not...
Well,
then arguably, like, going to your job is a tradition, and it's...
All right, fair enough.
Yeah.
All right.
You're proving
that,
too much.
I would call that more of a ritual. I guess I do sort of go through a semi-ritual when I'm getting ready for the Renaissance Festival, because my costume requires that I do things in a particular order in order for it to be the easiest way to put them on. So now it's almost like it's... If I were to do it any other way, even if I figured out, hey, if I actually did it this way, it'd be faster, I'm sure that it wouldn't feel right to me because I've kind of got this sort of ritualist. And it also helps me get into character. I mean, I know there's some actors who take that to an extreme where before they perform, they have to do, you know, some sort of bizarre little half ritualistic, half superstition kind of activity in order to really get into the zone. I'm not one of those because, one, I'm not a very good actor, and two, I'm sane. So
I think you're using
lies.
That term loosely.
Lies.
What about you? Are you into any sort of tradition? Well, you said not traditions, but what about, do you have any like particular like rituals that other people might find odd, or just that you do certain things in a certain way, and if you don't do it that way, it doesn't feel right or whatever?
Arguably, every year on Thanksgiving, I follow a tradition, but it's like an anti-tradition. So whatever, we don't do the turkey stuffing standard Thanksgiving. Every year, I try to get my wife to make something different. So something that nobody else is making, hopefully. So I guess it's not really a tradition because it's not the same thing all the time, but it kind of is because it's different. So I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I've never been a big fan of most of the traditional Thanksgiving foods, with a couple of exceptions. So I actually got to a point where I convinced my mom to make a lasagna one year instead of a turkey. So because I was like, if we want to really be thankful, let's make something that I'm not going to complain about. I've never been a fan of like the whole turkey and stuffing and all that kind of stuff.
Well, for me, it's always been like those holidays, like I had when I was a kid, they'd get so formalized and so there'd be a lot of expectations for it to go well. Everything would fall apart. There was like four kids, and then there was our extended family, which is even weirder than us. our parents would get very uptight, you know, these kinds of things. And you're like, okay, this is not fun. Like, I don't understand the idea of, you know, okay, let's get a bunch of people that don't get along and put them at a table. Like, I mean, I know
sounds
it's
like
old,
a wedding to me.
It's an old joke, but why do people do that?
Yeah,
it's not nice at all. It's very mean spirited to go, all right, you, I know you and your uncle don't get along, but you have to sit at this table because there's only so many tables at this wedding.
Also, it teaches you again, like for things like Thanksgiving, where you end up sitting with people you don't like, you're thankful that the rest of the year you don't have to do that.
Aha, it's the why do bad things happen kind of argument.
Yeah, something like that. Well, you know, on a related note, we've talked about, you know, sort of holiday stuff and ritual stuff. I actually had a kind of, and I haven't really thought about this question, and we may not be able to come up with any particular answers right off the top of the your heads. But I was wondering if there was ever a gift that you either of you ever really wanted, but you never got, you know, even as a like either as a kid or even as an adult, just something that you kind of wanted, but it just never seemed to work out. Maybe it was too expensive or just wrong place, wrong time, anything like that.
A gift that I didn't get.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it would have been your, like the thing that you really wanted and it just didn't, you just never got it.
I got a crazy one, but I mean, this is like an irrational want. Like I wanted a car, right? And I was at college. And my parents had gotten my siblings cars, not the best cars, you know, like junky old things, but they got them something. My younger brother sent me a series of emails telling me that my parents had bought me my dream car and they were keeping it in the garage for when I would show up for my birthday in a couple of weeks. And I got super psyched. I'm like, oh my God, there's a Corvette in the garage. And I go, you better tell me if you're telling the truth because I'm about to buy a ticket. And then, no. Now, I mean, it's obviously a crazy gift to want, but I did want that Corvette, and I still don't have it.
That's a good gift, though. That's a good way, an example.
It's an absurd one. It was just kind of bizarre, but my parents are weird, so it's possible.
I really can't think of anything. I mean, especially because I'm really bad at asking for gifts or, you know, figuring out things that I really, really want. Yeah, because my problem is I'm one of those people where if there's something that I want or need, I'll just go buy it, which is also why everybody else gets annoyed with me when they need to buy me a present because, you know, one year I really wanted a GPS unit, right? Because we were going backpacking and whatever. So about 2 weeks before my birthday, I bought myself a GPS unit, right? And my girlfriend at the time just looks at me and goes, why did you do that? Like, on my birthday, she bought me something else, but she's just like, I had this whole plan where I was going to buy you a nicer GPS unit and set up a scavenger hunt using the GPS unit for your birthday. And I was like, oh, now I feel bad for buying myself things. Well, that's, I mean, really sweet.
What about, can you think of anything you ever wanted as a kid that you didn't get? I mean, clearly when you were a kid, you weren't going out and buying all that stuff for yourself, right?
Oh, I was loaded when I was a small child.
Yeah.
He was importing things from Japan. Oh, you know, yeah, he was doing everything back then.
Eric, when he was six, was a day trader.
You know what I really wanted, actually, that I bought for myself way after the fact? Do you remember the Sharp Zaris?
Yes.
Yeah.
The Linux-based PDA.
The first one with the slider keyboard. I don't even remember when that thing came out. But I remember I asked for that thing, and I actually did really want that. And then, like, 3 years
How old
later,
were you when you wanted a PDA?
I
don't know. I want to know, how old were you?
I don't know. I'm looking up when the Sharp Zaris was.
Because I'm like, I can just imagine this little kid, like, I need something to keep my appointments. And, you know, little Billy down the street, I got to have his, phone number in case I need it.
I don't think I was that young. Let's see. Let's see. The 1990s. 1993 was the PL-1-3000. I think that was the model that I wanted. No. It was the ZR-5800. That was 96, so I was 10.
So, yeah. So you'll be like, I'm sorry, Billy. I wanted to pencil you in here for playing after school, but the Peanuts Christmas special comes on. I've already got it in my calendar. Can we maybe work something in next week?
Yeah, that's about right. But I remember years later, I wanted that thing so much that when I was like 16 and I had my first job, I actually bought one of those Sharp Zaris's off of eBay. And you know what? It was as good as I remember it being, even though it was, you know, 6 years old, 5 years old at that point.
Actually, I have another thing that I didn't get when I was a kid. But
yeah.
I actually had it for a little bit. I had a Voltron, and I had a Black Lion. You know, there was five pieces, and the Black Lion was the main one.
I was just about to ask which Voltron.
And my younger brother, the same guy who did the phone call thing, or the email string, that is, he took the Black Lion, and as I was sitting at the edge of the bed, he smacked me over the head with it, breaking the head off of Voltron. Now, the Black Lion, if you don't know, not only has the Black Lion head, but when you open the mouth, has Voltron's face. So that was not really repairable. So I asked my parents for another one. They said, sure. He did the same thing. He smacked me over the head. And if you don't remember these toys, these were die-cast metal, and they hurt.
So your brother was a sociopath is what you're telling us.
No, I was a pretty lousy older brother. I think I probably deserved it now that I think about it. But when I asked for a third one, they said, no, you can't sustain any more head trauma. But they would not give me a third one, and I had a Voltron that had a taped-on head with so much scotch tape, because you can never line it up right, and they don't let you have crazy glue when you're a kid.
What I'm getting out of this, Ayaz, is that I was just one head injury away from winning a podcast award.
Absolutely.
Awesome. For me, I guess it would be the Nintendo Entertainment System or maybe the Super NES. I didn't have either of those. I had an Atari back when I was a little kid. And then later on, after it already had its peak and failure, I got an Intellivision. I kind of got that from one of my older cousins. He just sort of – it was a hand-me-down. So I got that, a whole bunch of games. The Intellivision had this these little inserts that you would put into the controller so that it would correspond with the game so that you would have it was like almost like the ColecoVision. It was like a remote control. It had a number pad as well as the joystick and the buttons. Mm-hmm. So the inserts would tell you what the different buttons did. You know, like number one might be to drop a bomb or something. And the problem was that the collection of games I had and the collection of inserts I had only had a slight overlap. If you were to do a Venn diagram, it wouldn't have been a very significant portion of a correlation, sadly. So I had a lot of inserts for games that sounded awesome, but I didn't have the cartridge. And then I had a lot of cartridges where I could never figure out really how to play the game because I didn't have the inserts. But so I never got to the NES or the SNES. And in fact, to this day, I keep on thinking about buying an old one and just playing some of these old games that I got to play a few of them because friends of mine had them. But I never really had the experience of playing through these old 8-bit and 16-bit games.
Have you bought yourself any of those things after the fact, since you're an adult now, you have your own things?
I have the closest I have is I've got a Dreamcast that a friend of mine I bought the Dreamcast, and then a friend of mine ended up giving me a whole bunch of discs that he had. And clearly he has a less he was not as concerned with getting things through proper channels as I was. But by the time I got the Dreamcast, again, there was no way to buy new games anymore. It was already off the market again. And he gave me a disc that had one disc had an NES emulator and the other one had an SNES emulator, and both of them had, you know, something like 80 games on the on each disc, which was cool. But some of the titles I wanted to play the most were the ones that just would not work through the emulator, so that was kind of a bummer. But I got to play a lot of them.
Now you make me want to build a main machine somewhere.
I've always wanted to do that too.
If I'm doing it, I'm building a kegerator into the damn thing too.
Oh yeah,
we have it. My roommate has a Street Fighter 2 machine. That thing, I've become way too good at Street Fighter 2.
Which Street Fighter 2?
I don't. Is there a there are differences then?
Well, there's Street Fighter 2 Champion Edition, Street Fighter 2 Super, Street Fighter 2 Super, Street Fighter 2 Turbo. There's so many different variants of Street Fighter 2.
I don't know.
But if it doesn't say anything, it's probably just Street Fighter 2.
It's Street Fighter 2. It's an original cabinet.
Do you have combo hits?
Yes.
Oh, then it's not the original one. Because you had no combos back then.
It's a 6-button, what is it? Left, right, up, top, kick, kick. Yeah, I think there are definitely combos in it.
Interesting. I'm intrigued now, because we have a machine at work, and that's all I play.
Street Fighter, I'll have to go look at it again. Yeah, we had a big party the other weekend, and yeah, everybody pretty much was vying for the Street Fighter 2 machine.
Jonathan, the Street Fighter 2 bite you when you were a kid? Were you all excited about that?
No. By the time that had come out, I was kind of getting away from the arcade machines. I was never a big fan of the fighting game arcade machines. I just never had the patience to learn all the moves, and I would just get, you know, as soon as you show up at an arcade where a bunch of kids were playing, I'd be one of those kids who, within a heartbeat, would be wiped out, and I'd be like, well, that was not fun at all.
That was great to put my quarter down and wait 15 minutes to get my butt kicked.
That was like playing against Randall in Vegas, by the way. That guy's amazing. What was that, Tekken that he was playing?
I think it was Tekken.
I was okay with Mortal Kombat. Mortal Kombat was a game that I was pretty good at playing, but and also an older game that I really enjoyed was it was terrible, a terrible game, was Pit Fighter.
Oh, that game was fantastic looking.
Yeah. Well,
for the time, it was fantastic looking. Yeah. No, but that was one of the games that I would play as Pit Fighter.
No, Atari made that, if I remember right. And
might have.
They used photographs of people.
Yeah.
And they had three, 4 frames a second.
It's like sprite animation. It's really simple sprite.
It was one of the first ones that looked really realistic. And it was awful.
Yeah. Yeah, it had the full motion video type thing. Yeah, you could play. I think it was 3 different characters you could play, and it mostly involved either picking up various debris and knocking your opponents over the head with it, or pushing them into the crowd where they would get tagged on by the crowd members and then thrown back into the ring. And
so that's the thing. Not one of the three of us are really big gamers, and there's like 3 big games coming out this week.
Well, like Call of Duty came out today.
Call of Duty, Skyrim.
Yeah, the Elder Scrolls game.
Elder Scrolls, and then Battlefield's coming out too.
Battlefield 3, you mean? That's already been out.
I thought there was. Oh, it is out then. Well, that tells you, how much I play video games.
I mean, I really enjoy video games. I just don't have the kind of time to really play that frequently. So for me, a video game tends to last a really long time because I don't have. Yeah. First of all, my skill level is probably on the average.
I remember when you got your Xbox 360, actually.
Yeah.
I think we recorded a podcast that week or something. Yeah.
And I mean, I probably have maybe 3 more games than I did back then. But yeah. I mean, those games, like the games I like are the ones that last me a long time. The one that I actually went through and completed very quickly, relatively speaking, was Red Dead.
Yeah,
Red Dead Redemption, I got through pretty quickly because that game was just it appealed to me so strongly that I just played all the way through it.
No, I completely agree with that. Like Red Dead was one of those ones that I marathoned through.
Yeah, strangely enough, I didn't marathon through. In fact, I've never finished it. Grand Theft Auto 4, and I was a huge Grand Theft Auto fan.
You know what? I never finished that either. I don't know what it was, but I got completely bored with it.
I've never played that game.
Grand Theft Auto?
I've played none of them. Never played it.
Vice City is still my favorite. I like I like the setting of Vice City. I like the music, and I like the multiple references to Scarface and.
Well, and the new one, the new trailer they released, that's going to take place in the same city, right?
It was it's a fake Los Angeles. I forget what they called it. Los Santos. I think that's what they called.
Yeah.
It's this one's going to take place in the same general area as Grand Theft Auto San Andreas.
Oh, San Andreas, that's right.
Yeah, because Vice City was Miami.
Right.
So
My go-to video game when I'm bored is always Civilization, and so it's about as exciting as I get when it comes to that stuff nowadays. Like, I'm like, I have a couple hours to kill. I'll play a game. Well, and 3 hours later, through Civilizations.
Yeah. I was never really big into those games. I'm just terrible with all the resource management stuff. So I like the sandbox games a lot. But I was going to say that that I saw a documentary recently that was okay. I mean, it wasn't phenomenal. It didn't blow me away. But it was entertaining, called Special When Lit. And it's on Netflix streaming, and it's a documentary about pinball machines, and the pinball craze.
Oh, okay.
And I was a huge pinball fan. I mean, I still love pinball. It's just really hard to find pinball machines,
What's one of your favorite cabinets?
Okay, my favorite cabinets include Funhouse, Theater of Magic is probably my favorite. Adam's Family is also way up there.
Yes.
Adam's Family was phenomenal.
There's a bar out here that has an Adam's Family, and it's amazing. Yeah.
Twilight Zone. I was a big fan of Twilight Zone. Some of the ones I liked were some of the most complicated cabinets because they were the ones that had all the extra gaming elements added in there, which meant that only a certain sliver of the pinball playing population would bother to learn how to play the game. And that right. was actually part of the documentary. They talked about how this tendency to make these games more complex in the end hurt the industry as a whole because fewer people would bother to learn how to play them. And so you'd only have the hardcore fans who would actually put in the time to learn how to play, and then everybody else would just, you know, skip over it. And that was part of the reason, yeah. one of the many reasons why pinball kind of started they to...
Those are like the arguments that come up constantly about video games, like how video games now are like very simple, you know, or they become really simple for a while and then they become more complex. You know, it's weird. But I can see where if you're producing a physical, you know, installment, it would be a problem. But
I mean, that documentary, by the way, is the reason why I said we should go to the Pinball Hall of Fame in Vegas when we're at CES, because it was actually featured in the documentary. And I saw a lot of the cabinets that I used to love to play there. And I'm like, I would love to get a chance to play those again.
What's the documentary called again?
Special Winlet.
Special Winlet?
Yeah. Already added to my queue.
Winslet.
It's, like I said, it's not the best documentary, but some of the people in there are pretty interesting. Some of them are really, like... I mean, really obsessive about pinball. Like, there's this one guy in the documentary who probably has a few, like, he's probably not quite to a full social disorder, but it's not a far cry either. His house is just filled with pinball machines and pinball machine parts, and he has all this documentation of all these scorecards from all these different pinball tournaments, and it's crazy. He's living by himself, and it's kind of sad, really. But
yeah, I met a guy out here who lives up in Santa Fe maybe a month and a half ago, who all he does is work on old arcade cabinets, and it's really cool because he can live wherever he wants because it's so expensive to repair some of those original boards that they'll ship them to him anyway. And he just has all the parts on hand, so people just ship him the boards from all these, you know, archaic arcade cabinets. He repairs them for next to nothing, sends them back out. Which, I mean, is a good business, because there's lots of people who want those cabinets to keep running, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I would imagine the maintenance on pinball machines has got to be nightmarish.
Oh God, it's
so many moving pieces, yeah. and all the different little sensors and the lights and the sound effects, all that kind of stuff. So many different components that could go wrong, and to think that a lot of that stuff was, you know, was pretty much specialized. It's not like you can go to the hardware store and buy an off the shelf component and replace it. But I mean, I still would love to own a pinball machine, or actually, truth be told, several pinball machines.
There's a big surprise to give Jonathan Strickland
pinball machine. Yes, if you were to give me a pinball machine, that would be an enormous surprise. It's not something I need at all, but I would, depending on the pinball machine, I should be more specific.
You're there gonna machines get mad out there if somebody gives you like any pinball machine.
Well, I mean, I would think it would be an interesting novelty, but if it weren't one of the machines I really liked, it wouldn't have the same impact. Like, if it were the Guns N' Roses pinball machine, I'd be like, all right, that's kind of funny, but not one of my favorite machines. if it had been like Funhouse, which I loved, or Adam's Family, which I think is my favorite, that truly might be my favorite.
Adam's Family is definitely one of my favorites.
Yeah, Theater of Magic.
Actually, the Simpsons one was okay, too.
Simpsons was all right, yeah. I also liked Medieval Madness, which was one of the later pinball machines, and I liked Junkyard. That was a good one. There was a Star Trek one that the University of Georgia had. This was a classic, the original series Star Trek pinball machine, so it must have dated from the 70s. There was a guy who would had like a collection of vintage pinball machines and would occasionally essentially lease it out to the University of Georgia, and they put it in their student center game room. And they had several pinball machines. They had like six different pinball machines that would cycle out every now and then. And one of them was this this classic Star Trek pinball machine. I'll never forget. I figured out the trick to it. I figured out the weakness of the machine. And it was that there was a sensor in the upper left part of the field that if you tripped it a couple of times, it would give you an extra ball. And this one in particular stuck a little bit. So if you just hit it a couple of times, that's all you needed, and you get an extra ball. So on every ball, I would concentrate on getting that first, and as soon as I got it, then I would just play. Because it would mean that, you know, the next ball would be free, and I would put off losing for a while. And I think that was the first time I have ever – it was the old counters for the score. It was the first time I'd ever earned the score. I got to go all the way back to zero. And I think I had 17 free games racked up on it when I managed to turn it. It did not, however, allow me to put my initials into the game because it was counting it as zero.
Because it counted as zero, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, before we actually stop this podcast, I want to ask you guys, how many subscribers do you think we have as of right now?
See, last week 20. We had, or 2 weeks ago, we had 50, right?
Uh-huh.
We had 50 subscribers?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to go with 63.
Eric, your guess?
I'll go with 70, sure.
59. The answer is 59.
Wow.
We don't know why you're here. We're glad you are here. We don't know why you're growing.
But I went over, so Jonathan wins. I mean, we're obviously playing
Jonathan also went over.
Yeah.
Well, Jonathan went over too, right?
I want to play that yodeling game.
We'll add one of those. You know, if you want to give me a big surprise, give me a Plinko wall. I loved that thing when I was a kid, and I actually still love it as an adult. So 59
See, now
viewers.
What's going to happen is
listeners.
You're going to say that's what you want, but your big surprise is actually going to be Drew Carey with a bow.
That is, well, he's a funny guy. I don't know what I would do with him, but
hey, you might meet him if he's at CES again.
It's not the same. It's not like Bob Barker.
It's true.
On that note, so long, internet.
Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Bye. Farewell. Gonna keep recording.
Wiedersehen.
Other words, sayonara.
Do svidaniya.
Das one where?